my people. Seek the truth.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for tuning into the show. I'm really excited to present today's talk, and the topic is going to be about Yeshua and the Torah specifically, because I've been telling people about the Torah and what the Torah is. It's the guidelines and instructions of our Creator as found in the foundation of all Scripture, the first five books, starting with Genesis, ending with Deuteronomy. Now, every single book and every single word of the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelations, is important for us. And we should be inspired to read and understand every single word. But the foundation of everything is the instructions, is the guidelines that we are told to follow. And people will ask, well, that's the Old Testament or that's the Old Covenant, and we have a new covenant. No, the word is renewed, not new. And if we got a clearer understanding of what these words say in the original hieroglyphic Hebrew language, we would know it's renewed, and it's like restoring. So to give you an example, if you have an old broken down car and you want to somehow return it to its original glory, you don't throw it away and buy a new one. What you do is you restore that car to its original beauty. And yes, you have to be an artist, you have to be a craftsman, you have to be a special mechanic to understand and learn how to restore that car. Well, you know what, folks? We need to be artists of the word of Yahweh, and we need to learn how to he restored his word to us, or his covenant to us, and what we need to do with that. And we're going to take the greatest example that we can find, and that is Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, because he's known as the living Torah, because he perfectly lived out the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And he also showed us through example and through command to go and do so, to live according to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator found in the Torah. You see, many Christians today misunderstand the Torah as law, and they use the word law, and they say things like, we're not under the law. Folks, it's not about a law. It's about a guideline and instruction. That's what Torah is, and that's what we need to follow. There's this phrase today that says, what would Yeshua do? The one you call Jesus. What would he do? And he would do exactly what he always did. He would keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. He would keep his Torah. And he would also go and tell his followers to do the same thing, to keep the Torah. He was known as the living Torah for a reason. He wanted to set that example. Yes, his blood came to set us free. We're not saved by works. We cannot be saved by works. We don't keep the Torah or the guidelines and instructions to be saved. We don't make it a thing of works. We understand that Yeshua's blood, Yeshua died for us, and his blood covered the penalty of death for our sins, and we are set free through Yeshua. And as long as we desire to follow Yeshua as our Messiah, we don't do the works to be saved. We do the works, the guidelines and instructions, because we are saved. Because we understand that our Creator knows better than we do. And he wrote these guidelines and instructions as a program for us how to live our lives according to his plan. And in the scripture it says, the plan that he has for us is for good and not disaster, to give us a future and give us a hope. Folks, I'm telling you this, and it's important to understand that our Creator Yahweh is much smarter than we are. He formed us in the womb. He knows every hair on our head, and he created and gave us a plan to live our lives. He was so generous, kind, and loving to us that he not only just put us here and said, figure it out. No, he gave us the guidelines and instructions and told us what to do and how to do it. And then he gave us an even better example. He gave us Yeshua, the Messiah, who died for us and set us free from death row. And he said, not only now do you have the set of instructions, now you have a living being who is living it perfectly. You can take after the example of him, and you can go and live it the same way. And we're going to look today in this teaching exactly how Yeshua kept Torah and how Yeshua taught others to keep the Torah through his actions and through what he did. He taught the Torah and everything he did. We'll look at first many scripts today, but first scripture we'll look at is Matthew 5:17. Matthew 5:17 says, "Do not think that I come to annul the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to annul, but to fulfill." And then you go on to the next verse in Matthew 5:18, "Truly I say to you, until the heaven and the earth pass away, no way shall one yod or one stroke away pass away from the Torah until all come to pass." So until the earth is gone, we need to be keeping the Torah and the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And this was the basis of the teachings of Yeshua Messiah. In Matthew 12, it says, "Therefore, all things, whatever you desire that man should do to you, so also you should do to them, for this is the Torah and the prophets." So right there, folks, we see that that was the basis of Yeshua's whole ministry, of his instructions. It says it's the basis, it's the Torah and the prophets, that you should do them. Now, what did the prophets do? The prophets exalted Torah. They lived Torah. They showed us through Torah the consequences of what is going to happen based on our obedience to Torah or not. And we go and we look at more scriptures. We look at Yeshua keeping Torah, because some people said he did away with the Torah. No, he did not do away with the Torah. And even after he came, his followers kept the guidelines and instructions. Because why in the world would anyone want to do away with our Father's guidelines and instructions? He created us. He knew what was best for us. And he gave it to us to help us, not to hurt us. And he told us what the consequences would be either way. So we go and we look more how Yeshua did this, and he lived it out. He didn't give us this new. He gave us a renewed. You know, we look in the Torah, there's an instruction and guideline found in the book of Leviticus about healing and doing certain things. And we see Yeshua healing a certain Jewish man. And what happened in the old covenant was, or the Old Testament as many Christians refer to it, was when somebody was healed of something like leprosy, at the time, the Pharisees and the sages, they actually had to approve that, to say this person is completely clean now and everything else. So in Matthew 8:1-4, we see, I'm going to read it, Matthew 8:1-4. "And having come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him," meaning Yeshua. "And behold, coming up, a leper worshipped him, saying, 'Master, if you will, you are able to cleanse me.' And stretching out his hand, Yeshua touched him, saying, 'I will, be cleansed.' And instantly his leprosy was cleansed." And then verse 4 says, "And Yeshua said to him, 'Why do you look to telling man?'" Because this man was excited to go out and tell the world. He goes, "Rather, go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift which Moses commanded, a testimonial to them." That is Torah right there, because that's how you were confirmed clean. It's not you shouting to the world, "I'm clean." No, it's them, officially through them, and that's what Yeshua told them to do. Yeshua upheld and kept the Torah. And only somebody who would know Torah and seek Torah would decide to follow Yeshua at that time. And it's just more confirmation in Matthew 8:19. It says, "And one scribe coming near said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you may go.'" Now, this was a scribe. This was somebody who was already following Torah. In no way would this man desire to follow somebody who was not keeping Torah. Yeshua kept the Torah. And he also encouraged other Torah observant men to keep the commandments as well. We look at Matthew 19:17. I'm going to give you a lot of examples, folks, but this is just confirmation after confirmation that Yeshua kept the Torah and he taught others to do so, and it was not done away with. And it shouldn't be done away with, because it's great for our God, for us, for our well-being. So in Matthew 19:17, it says, "And he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except one, Yahweh.'" And that's our wonderful creator, and that's his name. "But if you desire to enter into life," and here's what Yeshua says now, Matthew 19:17, "keep the commandments." I'm going to read that again, folks. "And he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except Yahweh. But if you desire to enter into life, keep the commandments.'" And that was right from Yeshua. That was what Yeshua was talking about. And then we can look at the physical aspects of Yeshua. And there's many examples of him keeping Torah. There's a command in the Torah to wear tassels, or tzitzit, as they're called. And Yeshua wore them, Luke 8:44. Coming up behind, she touched the tassels of his garment. He wore them because that was the plan laid out for us in the foundation of all scripture of what we need to do and how we need to be doing it. Let's take it even further. Let's look at the idea of blessing a certain food. In Exodus 23:25, it talks about blessing a food a certain way and blessing a food. And then we look at the renewed covenant. We look at Luke 9:16, and it says, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, looking up to the heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave to the disciple to set before the crowd. And that's exactly the way it's told to be done in Exodus 23:25, which is Torah, which is part of the Torah, which is what Yeshua, a wonderful Messiah, kept. So, you know, it's not just Yeshua. His students kept it also. Even after his death, they understood that they need to continue to keep this because it was never done away with before, during, or after. These guidelines and instructions of our Creator are eternal. And it's for everyone who believes in Yeshua as Messiah. And if you identify yourself as a believer in Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, you are responsible to learn, to study, and do, and keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator to the best of your will. And if you happen to mess up, that's where His grace and mercy is there to cover you and help you. But if you willfully continue to live against the guidelines and instruction of our Creator, thinking it's not important, you know what, folks? You are going to suffer the consequences. So we need to get right with His Word, and we need to make sure, study yourself approved, and make sure we're following and understanding His guidelines and instruction. So let's look at Luke 23:56, where we talk about His students, or the people that were following Him, keeping the commandments. Luke 23:56, and returning, they prepared spices and perfume. And indeed, they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. They rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. You see, the Sabbath was keeping. Yeshua kept the Sabbath, and His disciples kept the Sabbath. And when Yeshua was hung on a tree, they didn't stop doing these things either. It wasn't all fulfilled and all done away with. He fulfilled it and set an example for us how to do it. And here we see a great example. With everything going on right after His death and His burial, and everything's happening, they still took time to keep the Sabbath, because that's what we are commanded to do. That is it. Let's look at another one, John 7:10. But when His brothers went up, then He went up to the feast, not openly, but in secret. You see, in the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, there are feasts. And some people refer to them as Jewish feasts. But they're not Jewish feasts, folks. They're feasts for all the followers of Yeshua, known as Israel. You now become Israel, whether you're born into Israel, you're grafted in, you're spiritual Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel, you are Israel. You are not a Gentile just because you're not Jewish. Gentile means heathen. Gentile means nations. You are no longer of that. I have other teachings about identity crisis that Christians have. You can go on my website and look at this. You are Israel, and you are to keep these feasts, these guidelines and instruction, these set apart times and appointments. And Yeshua Himself was the only one who was sinless, and He could not break any of the commandments, including this one. And John 7:10 confirms that He kept the Sukkot, or tabernacle feast, as it was referred to in John 7:10. Over and over again in the scripture, we see Yeshua filling the instructions of Torah and keeping them, and never living against them or talking against them, but telling people to do them. Here's another one. Another great Torah command: honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother, Luke 2:51. And He, Yeshua, went to them and came to Nazareth, and He was being obedient to them. Meaning, when Yeshua was a little son, He came with His parents to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them, it says. Even from an early age, He was listening to His parents, He was honoring them. Not because it's something He wanted to do within His own flesh. No, it's something because it's the guidelines and the structure of our Creator. And also because He was Messiah and He could not sin. Then we look at the idea of the Sabbath. Again, keeping the Sabbath holy, keeping it set apart. You know, we see he kept the Sabbath over and over and over again. We see it, in Matthew 5:17-20, in Luke 4:16-22, and also Luke 31. It talks about keeping the Sabbath day set apart. He goes on to say that, you know, you have to follow the guideline instructions. And, of course, there's many issues or arguments about, well, it says the religious leaders of that day said he broke the Sabbath because he plucked bread on the Sabbath or plucked the grains on the Sabbath. No, Yeshua did not say we no longer need to do the Sabbath. What Yeshua did is he said, this is how it should be done. You are adding and taking away, he told the Pharisees and sages, but we're not to add or take away, but we are to keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Not to add, not to take away, but keep them as it's found in Deuteronomy. But that's what they were doing. They were adding to it. And he said, no, I'm not here not to break the Sabbath. I'm not breaking the Sabbath. I'm keeping it the way the guidelines and instructions of our Creator said to keep it. And that's what he did. There's another example. The kosher foods that are found in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. The clean and the unclean animals. There's a great book out there that's out there now called What Would Yeshua Eat? And every list that it gave of what he actually did eat was kosher. Not one thing did he eat that was unclean. He couldn't. And now, of course, people want to mess this around and turn this around and mess up scripture and say, but didn't Yeshua himself says everything is clean and all things are clean? No, he did not. You know, in Mark 7:18-7:20, it says that, you know, it's not what goes into the body, it's what comes out of the mouth that makes a person clean or unclean. And thus he declared all foods clean. But that was added in parentheses. That's why it says in parentheses in your Bible, thus he made all food clean. No, you know, he didn't make holy, abominable, unclean food clean. They're never meant to be food to begin with. Again, Yeshua kept Torah. And if you look at what he ate, you do the research, the studies are out there. Every single thing he ate was considered kosher or clean, whatever you want word you want to use. But he was not breaking the Torah and the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. As we look at this and we continue to look back at history and see where Yeshua learned this and see why and where the people today, especially people that didn't grow up with this, where they have an issue with learning this or what they need to learn or what we need to do from Torah and how we need to do it and understanding the process. We look at Yeshua not just waking up one day when he was 20 years old and say, I want to keep Torah. Yeshua grew up in a household, in a Jewish household, and they kept Torah themselves. So from a young age, from the time he was born, Yeshua kept Torah. His house, you know, it was rich in the whole culture at that time, was rich in the study of Torah, the keeping of the Torah, the feast and the holidays, and they had a deep connection to Torah and Israel. Now, you know what, folks? There are people out there that might be listening to this right now saying, why do you keep talking about Torah? Isn't that a Jewish thing? Why do you keep talking about these Jewish things? And I tell you, the Torah is not a Jewish thing. Some people come up to me, they say, you know what, I want to read the Torah. How can I get it? I said, have you ever read the Bible? They said, yeah. I said, well, it's the first five books. It's not a Jewish book that's separate. It's the first five books. And a lot of times people often get confused because there's something known as the written Torah, and then there's something known as the oral Torah. Now, the oral Torah is a rabbinical thing that Yeshua came to rebuke. It's not part of the written word of our wonderful Creator that our Creator told Moses to write down. That is what I'm referring to when I say Torah. I'm not talking about the rabbinical Judaism oral Torah. That is something that is not of Yahweh. That is something that is not of our Creator. That is something Yeshua came to rebuke, and the major reason Yeshua had issues with these rabbis and Pharisees and sages was because they were making up and added to their own to the actual Torah, and these are the problems that are created. We look at Yeshua's early life and his early years, and we see him in Scripture over and over again fulfilling the guidelines and instructions of our commandments of our Creator. Even since his birth, from the time he was born, Yeshua, his parents fulfilled the commandment of the circumcision. In Exodus 13:2, 11-16, Leviticus 12:1-8, it all summed it up. It says, I'm going to sum it up now. It says, when a woman gives birth to a boy, he is to circumcise him. This is the actual Torah rule. On the eighth day, And when the days of purification pass, bring a one-year old sheep for a burnt offering, and a dove or a pigeon for a sin offering to the entrance of the tent of meeting, to the Kohen, or to the priest. Or bring two pigeons or two doves for a burnt offering, and one for a sin offering, one for the priest, and one will perform the atonement, the purification ceremony. So basically, that was the Torah command. That's what it was. And we see in Luke 2:21 to 2:24 exactly that being done by Yeshua's parents. It says, on the eighth day, when it was time for his circumcision, he was given a name Yeshua. They took him up to Jerusalem to present him to Yahweh. As it has been written in the Torah of Yahweh, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to Yahweh, and also to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves, of two young pigeons, as required by the Torah. And Luke 2:39 says, and they, meaning Joseph and Mary, completed all things according to Torah. Underline that. All things according to Torah, the Torah of Yahweh. And they returned to Galilee, to Nazareth, their city. So this verse tells us and confirms that the family that Yeshua was born into here were Torah keepers. And they kept the commands and guidelines of our Creator. And they even confirm it even further during the time of Passover when Yeshua was 12 years old, how he went up to Israel and they left him there. And for 3 days he was there and they didn't know he was there and he came back. And Yeshua was talking to the Pharisees and the sages and all the people else that was keeping Torah and came there to celebrate the Feast of Passover. So he stayed there for 3 days talking and teaching at just 12 years old. And they were amazed. They were amazed by his teachings. And he was teaching Torah. He wasn't teaching against it. Luke 2:47 says, and all those hearing him were amazed at his intelligence and his answers. These weren't your average, everyday non-believers, folks. These were Torah scholars, Torah keepers, people that were living this out and people that were doing these things. So Yeshua, our Messiah, kept it, and he told others to keep it as well. Now, I'll use the word Gentiles, but not in the way of just meaning non-Jewish. We could say heathens, the believers that were not the original people that Yahweh had went to. They were the non-Hebrew people, the non-Israelites that Paul was sent out to go and minister the good word and teach them the guidelines and instructions to our Creator, the Torah that we should all be learning. But there was an issue, because where did we start? So Paul and Barnabas, you know, it talks about in the scriptures, in the Council of Acts, going up to the elders concerning the question of circumcision for salvation. So we see this in Acts 15:19. For the reason I judge you not is to trouble those from the nations, the Gentiles, turning to Yahweh. And then Acts 15:20. But to right them and hold back from. And these are the four things. It says, the pollutants of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and blood. Now, this is not the only things that a non-Hebrew person needed to do, or a non-Gentile needed to do. These were the things to start out with. Just like Yeshua learned from his birth and all the way through growing up that he had to learn the Torah, and he learned it and perfected it, learning what it was, being taught by his family. Well, these people didn't have that opportunity. So we couldn't just throw it all on them at once. And they didn't want to just create an extra burden and making it harder for these people. But these are the four things they needed to do right away. And why these four things of all the things that are written? Why only these four? Because the answer is, these practices upon the non-Hebraic or the non-Israelite people were commonly done on a regular basis. Basically, they were sinning by doing these things. And for the Jewish people, or for Israel, not only the Jewish people, because Judah was only one tribe of Israel, for the Jewish people to be able to eat with and fellowship with and mingle the seed with the non-Israel peoples before they became Israel, they had to make sure they weren't committing these four things that were so common at that time. And that's why these four things were the things mentioned that they must do immediately. They were simply making basic rules that will allow them to meet together with a clear conscience. And that's what they were talking about. If somebody wants to say that that's the only four things that needs to be done, by non-Hebraic or non-Israel people, or some people might even say Gentiles, before they come in and want to accept this covenant. No, folks, that is just crazy, because the next verse clearly says, when it goes through those four, in Acts 15:21, it says, hear the Torah each Sabbath they meet. So Paul was going into the synagogues every Sabbath, teaching the Torah, and these non-Jewish believers were going there on a regular basis to hear all the Torah, as it clearly says. And this clearly shows it was still the binding vitality of the Sabbath and the Torah after this decree was made of just these four things. To sum it up, folks, it says it best in John 14:15. Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the commandments our wonderful Messiah was talking about was the Torah, based on a plan that our Heavenly Father Yahweh had given us when he gave us the Bible, the whole Bible, and not just some of the Bible. Unfortunately, today, the Christian church has been deceived, mostly by the Catholic Church, trying to separate Judaism from Christianity. But you cannot separate it, because Judaism is Christianity is a sect of Judaism, folks. Well, we have to restore and get back to the original. And just like it said in Jeremiah, a renewed covenant. We want to renew the glory and the beauty of the foundation of all Scripture, which is the Torah. And that's what we need to do. So if you claim, if you're listening to this right now, and you claim to be a Christian, and you claim to love Yeshua with all your heart, if you claim to follow him, start with the things that maybe these four things it mentions here in Acts 15, or even go beyond that. You know, look at the Ten Commandments and question your heart. Am I doing these things, or am I living against them because I was told a lie? And you need to question these things and test everything and show yourself approved. And the scriptures speak for itself when Yeshua says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when it says in the scriptures, do not add or take away, but keep. And that was forgiven for every single follower. So I pray that you get this information and take it seriously and see the blessings that are going to come along with that. Because it says, you know, all will be well with you if you keep the words of this covenant. And that was the covenant that was given, that we would follow his guidelines and instructions. That was our end of it. That was our side of it. So everybody, thank you for listening this week. I'll be back next week at the same time on this station. Until then, everybody, have a great day, and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministry. Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program, and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.